Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most important stories shaping our digital world. Today, we're covering groundbreaking developments in artificial intelligence, critical cybersecurity updates, and the latest in hardware and software innovation. Before we jump into the headlines, an interesting note from history. On this day, May 8, back in 1968, Douglas Engelbart received the patent for the computer mouse, a device that revolutionized human-computer interaction and laid a foundational stone for the tech world we know today. From Ars Technica, Hacker News, MIT Technology Review, TechCrunch, and many other leading sources, we've gathered the stories you need to know. Joining me is Arohi, our senior tech reporter, who has been sifting through the details. Arohi, a lot to cover today. Let's start with a big one that touches on the future of work and AI. Cloudflare recently announced significant layoffs, attributing them, in part, to AI efficiency gains. What are the details there?
That's right. Cloudflare announced its first large-scale layoff, impacting approximately 1,100 positions. CEO Matthew Prince stated that the company, even as it hit record revenue, simply doesn't need as many support roles due to efficiency gains from artificial intelligence. It's a stark example of AI's direct impact on the workforce, specifically in areas previously requiring significant human oversight.
And that's quite a statement, especially with record revenues. It really brings the AI job displacement conversation into sharp focus. But on a slightly different note, another major player, Sony, is also talking about AI, though with a different emphasis regarding creative work. What's their take?
Sony, specifically their PlayStation division, acknowledges that efficient AI tools will lead to even more games flooding the market. However, they're firm on the stance that human artists must remain at the center of the creative process. While AI can augment and accelerate, Sony sees it as a tool to enhance, not replace, the core human element in game development. It highlights a critical distinction in how different industries are viewing and integrating AI.
A fascinating contrast indeed. From the impact of AI on jobs and creative industries, let's pivot to the advancements in AI research itself. Anthropic, a leader in AI development, recently shared new insights from their research titled Teaching Claude Why. What did they uncover?
Anthropic's research focuses on improving the transparency and trustworthiness of large language models. By teaching Claude Why, they're developing methods to enable LLMs like Claude to explain their reasoning process, rather than just providing an answer. This is a crucial step toward building more reliable AI systems, allowing developers and users to understand how decisions are made, which is vital for debugging, safety, and accountability.
That's significant for understanding and trusting these complex systems. Speaking of understanding complex systems, there's also new research exploring whether LLMs can model real-world systems using TLA+. Can you elaborate on that?
This research investigates the capability of large language models to accurately model real-world systems using TLA+, which is a formal specification language for concurrent and distributed systems. The idea is to see if LLMs can not only understand but also generate and verify system specifications. If successful, it could drastically improve the development and validation of complex software and hardware systems, potentially automating parts of formal verification that are currently very labor-intensive.
That's a deep dive into AI's potential. Now, let's move from AI capabilities to some pressing concerns and applications, particularly around children's products. We're seeing what some are calling the new Wild West of AI kids' toys. What's driving this?
These new connected companions, integrating AI, are poised to disrupt everything from make-believe play to bedtime stories. They offer personalized interactions and adaptive learning. However, this has naturally raised significant privacy and safety concerns among parents and lawmakers. Some legislators are even calling for these toys to be banned, citing worries about data collection, potential for manipulation, and the impact on childhood development. It's truly a frontier where regulation is struggling to keep pace with innovation.
Those are serious concerns, and certainly a space that demands careful consideration. Beyond specific products, AI is also challenging established norms in a broader sense, particularly around vulnerability cultures. What does this mean?
The introduction of AI is fundamentally breaking down two distinct vulnerability cultures. Historically, we've had the rapid, public disclosure favored by the open source community, and the more controlled, responsible disclosure practiced by large corporations. AI-generated code and AI-driven systems complicate both. For example, AI can create vulnerabilities at an unprecedented scale, or conversely, detect them in ways that challenge traditional disclosure timelines and protocols. It's forcing a reevaluation of how we identify, report, and mitigate security flaws in a rapidly evolving technological landscape.
A fundamental shift in how we approach security. And speaking of security, we've seen several major cyber incidents recently. Let's start with the chaos that erupted around the Canvas learning platform during final season.
It was a widespread disruption. A cyber attack hit the Canvas learning platform, which is used by countless schools and colleges across the country. This chaos forced many institutions to postpone year-end tests and final assignments, causing immense stress for students and faculty alike. It highlights the critical vulnerabilities in our educational infrastructure and the cascading effects of such attacks.
And the threats aren't just confined to educational platforms. We're also seeing nation-state level concerns, with Poland reporting breaches in its water treatment plants and warnings for the U.S.
Exactly. Poland's top intelligence agency accused Russia of sabotage and hacking activities, including breaches of their water treatment plants and other military and civilian infrastructure. This report serves as a stark warning, as the U.S. faces similar threats to its critical infrastructure, making these types of attacks a growing concern on the geopolitical stage. The stakes are incredibly high when essential services are targeted.
Extremely high. And we also have a case of an insider threat, with a U.S. defense contractor selling hacking tools to a Russian broker.
This is a significant legal outcome. A former U.S. cybersecurity executive, Peter Williams, was ordered to pay $10 million to his former employers. He was found to have stolen several surveillance and hacking tools and then sold them for $1.3 million to a Russian broker with ties to Putin's government. It's a clear example of the severe consequences for those who betray trust and compromise national security for personal gain.
A harsh but necessary penalty for such actions. Now, let's dive deeper into some more technical vulnerabilities that have been identified. There's a notable exploit involving IO_URANE. What can you tell us about? You gave me a U32. I gave you root.
This refers to a critical vulnerability, specifically an IO_URANE ZCRX Freelist Local Privilege Escalation, or LPE, exploit. Essentially, it details how a seemingly innocuous user-supplied 32-bit unsigned integer can be manipulated to gain root access on a Linux system. It's a sophisticated attack that exploits memory management flaws in the kernel's IO_URANE subsystem, demonstrating the constant need for vigilance and deep technical understanding in system security.
And to counter such deep-seated issues, there's a proposed mitigation primitive called KillSwitch. How does that work?
KillSwitch is a proposed per-function short-circuit mitigation primitive for the Linux kernel. Its aim is to provide a way to quickly and safely disable specific, problematic functions within the kernel without requiring a full system reboot or patch. This allows for rapid response to critical bugs or vulnerabilities, preventing isolated issues from escalating into system-wide instability or security breaches. It's about containing damage at a very granular level.
Moving from technical deep dives to high-stakes courtroom drama, the legal battle between Elon Musk and OpenAI is heating up. We're now in Musk vs. Altman Week 2. What's the latest?
In the second week of this landmark trial, Elon Musk's motivations for bringing the lawsuit against OpenAI have come under intense scrutiny. Last week, Musk alleged that Sam Altman and Greg Brockman had deceived him into donating $38 million to the company, claiming they promised to maintain a non-profit, open-source mission. This week, OpenAI fired back, challenging those claims. Adding another layer to the drama, Siobhan Zelis, a Neuralink director, testified that Musk himself had previously tried to poach Sam Altman from OpenAI. It's a complex legal battle with significant implications for the future of AI and OpenAI's structure.
That's quite the saga unfolding in the tech world. Let's shift gears to hardware. Apple has been dealing with Mac shortages. What's the current situation there?
We're seeing continued signs of strain in Apple's supply chain for Macs. Beyond just new models like the rumored MacBook Neo and desktops, a significant number of existing Mac configurations are suffering from shortages. This suggests ongoing production challenges or unexpectedly high demand, making it difficult for consumers to get specific models, and impacting Apple's overall sales projections for the quarter.
And speaking of companies in the hardware space, Intel has had a truly wild comeback story, at least from a stock perspective.
It has been nothing short of incredible. Intel's stock has risen a stunning 490% over the past year. Wall Street is placing a massive bet on the company's turnaround strategy, particularly in its foundry business and renewed focus on cutting-edge chip development. However, many analysts are cautioning that this rapid stock appreciation may be running well ahead of the company's actual progress in regaining market share and executing its long-term strategy. The hype is certainly real, but the heavy lifting is still very much ongoing.
A fascinating market play. Now, let's turn our attention to Google and some recent developments, starting with an issue impacting users of de-Googled Android devices and reCAPTCHA.
Google inadvertently broke reCAPTCHA for users who opt for de-Googled Android devices, those running custom ROMs or privacy-focused setups without Google services. This incident reignites broader concerns that Google Cloud's new fraud defense, which is the next evolution of reCAPTCHA, might be moving towards a system akin to web environment integrity. Critics fear this could restrict user choice and impose more control over how users access the web, potentially creating a less open internet for those not fully integrated into Google's ecosystem.
And on a related note concerning Google's AI, we're seeing a course correction regarding their AI overviews.
That's right. Following initial feedback, Google announced it would link more sources in its AI overviews. The company plans to put more links to websites directly within the AI-generated summaries and search results. This move aims to address criticisms about source attribution and provide users with clearer paths to original content, improving transparency and trust in its AI-powered search results.
Good to see them adapting there. Finally, let's wrap up with some interesting developments in web infrastructure and development. First, the Internet Archive has established a presence in Switzerland.
The Internet Archive, renowned for its mission to preserve digital history, has officially opened a new facility in Switzerland. This move enhances its global distributed infrastructure, providing an additional layer of redundancy and resilience for safeguarding vast collections of web pages, books, audio, video, and software. It's a strategic step to ensure the long-term availability of our digital heritage.
And a concept that's gaining traction, forking the web. What does that entail?
This concept, advocated by projects like the Dillo browser, suggests creating an alternative, simpler web standard. The idea is to move away from the increasing complexity and corporate control seen in current web development, aiming for a more open, lightweight, and accessible internet. It's a call for decentralization and user empowerment, addressing concerns about bloat and monopolization.
And a fascinating project, serving a website on a Raspberry Pi Zero running entirely in RAM.
Yes, it's a brilliant demonstration of minimalist computing. This project showcased successfully serving a website from a Raspberry Pi Zero, with the entire operating system and all services running solely from RAM. It highlights extreme efficiency, low power consumption, and resilience, as the system can effectively vanish without a trace upon shutdown, making it ideal for temporary or highly secure applications.
Finally, the React 2 shell story. What's the takeaway there?
This is a cautionary tale for web developers. The React 2 shell story details a scenario where a seemingly innocuous and commonly used React component could be exploited to grant a reverse shell on a server. It illustrates the subtle and often unexpected ways security vulnerabilities can arise in modern web frameworks, emphasizing the importance of rigorous security auditing and understanding the underlying implications of component interactions.
Arohi, thank you for those excellent summaries and insights. That's a packed brief for today. Before we go, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that the concept of machine learning actually dates back to the 1950s? While the term gained prominence later, Arthur Samuel, an IBM pioneer, programmed a computer to play checkers in 1959. The program learned from its mistakes and improved its game over time, effectively becoming one of the earliest examples of what we now call machine learning, decades before the widespread adoption of AI. That's all the time we have for today's tech news briefing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more essential updates from the world of technology. Until then, have a great day.